Well, for the first time in our history in the United States, the parents of a school shooter are being held directly responsible for the actions of their child. And as you know now, and you heard it here live, this afternoon, Jennifer and James Crumbly, the parents of the Oxford school shooter, learned their fate. WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne digs deep and has more on the sentence and what took place in court. Good afternoon, Marie.
And good afternoon, Paul. A lot happened in court today. Let's start with the sentence. 10 to 15 years each for James and Jennifer Crumbly. This exceeds the sentencing guidelines given by the state. They had suggested 7 years. The pair will also get credit for time served. That's about 858 days. That's over 2 years. There were 6 victim impact statements. And the one that stood out for me was from Rihanna St. Juliana. Her 14-year-old sister was killed by the Oxford High School shooter. She told the Crumleys, "My sister was killed by the bullets you bought your son. My sister will not have any tomorrows." Bachmeier, father of Tate, Tate Meir, calling for a full truth and accountability in this case, saying that the family still don't have the full story of what happened. Both James and Jennifer Crumbly spoke to the court. Here's what Jennifer Crumbly had to say in part.
"If I even thought my son could be capable of crimes like these, things would have absolutely been different."
And James Crumbly, we did not hear him speak in court, of course, because he did not testify in his own behalf. He had this to say.
"Part of you will be missing forever. But please know that I am truly very sorry. I am sorry for your loss as a result of what my son did."
Now, James Crumbly specifically saying he was sorry to the victims' families and saying directly to Buck Meir that he also wants a full account of what happened on the day of the shooting. The full truth, he said. Prosecutors argued that Ethan's parents were criminally negligent by providing him the gun and then ignoring the warning signs about his mental health. Karen McDonald also addressed the court, saying that this was foreseeable. That's what this case was about. The judge saying that she prayed about this case, that she said the case was about repeated lack of action. And one last note, Paul, there was something interesting that happened during when they went over the sentencing guidelines. It indicated that the Crumleys, all three of them, will not be allowed contact with one another from behind bars. The defense taking exception to that, the judge saying she's not sure she has legal standing to change that. But later this month, after getting briefs from both the defense and the prosecution and the Michigan Department of Corrections, because this is their rule, she'll decide if she can rule on this part of the sentencing recommendation. In other words, she also indicated that this is really the first time they've been presented with something like this, where the parents and the child were all in the prison system. Yeah. And one other thing, too, we are looking at appeals in this case. We are getting indications that there will be appeals.
I would assume. I mean, it's almost a given. There's always an appeal. And I'm just wondering, and I didn't get a chance to ask Todd Flood earlier, what he has seen that might lead to a successful appeal. I never heard anyone call out any glaring errors or anything like that that would lead someone to say, yeah, there's going to be an appeal and they could be successful. I just haven't heard anything.
Do you remember the issue with the prosecutor not disclosing to the defense that the two people who testified from the school district were allegedly given, were told, well, you won't be prosecuted if you testify. We're trying to get for about what you have to say. In other words, we want to know what happened that day. We want to hear your testimony. And there was this sort of indication that they had been given, well, you won't be prosecuted for this. That's the allegation now. So there might be a problem there because the defense, you know, you have to present all exculpatory evidence ahead of a trial, all of it. And this might fall under that category. Of course, Todd, you know, he's the absolute expert on this and would be better able to answer that question. But that's one area that sticks in my head that might be at issue here.
Which has caused a great deal of mental anguish and pain if, in fact, people in the school have been given a free pass because they testified or because they allowed themselves to be interviewed by the prosecutor to get information, but being told before anybody knew anything, really, oh, by the way, you won't be prosecuted for this. That's a dangerous road to go down.
Yeah, that's the allegation. We don't, you know, I want to make sure that it's clear that, you know.
So it's just an allegation.
That's not been completely fleshed out in terms of who said what when. But that is definitely something that, made some big headlines. And of deep concern, obviously.
Sure.
And then, of course, you have the families who've had to go through the shooter's trial, but when he admitted his guilt and his sentencing and his statement, and they were there for that. And then they have to give victim impact statements for that. And now today, it's been a very rough road for these families.
It's been a very rough road for Tate Meyer's parents, Hannah St. Juliana, Madison Baldwin, Justin Schilling. And it's not over. That's the
trouble. Oh, it'll never be over.
They'll never not have the pain they have. But they want to get as much closure, or at least close to closure, in terms of what happened and why and what needs to be changed and could be done to make sure no other parents ever go through this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where there's going to be a lot to discuss. There's no quick, easy answer, but they want the truth. They want to know everything, and no one can blame them for that. And I just cry for these folks, and you can't imagine what they are going through still and what they've gone through. It's just horrific.
It absolutely has. And every time they've been very eloquent and, frankly, very generous with their time, speaking, of course, to law enforcement and to the prosecutors and all that, but also for the media, that they have, made themselves available to speak to the media, to talk about, what they are asking for in this case. And this call on their part to have a full accountability fully of what happened that day is extremely important. I don't think we've heard the end of that.
No, and it's not an unreasonable request.
No.
In by any measure, it's not an unreasonable request.
No, and I think they owe that to the community too, not just primarily to these victims, but what about the community at large? They should know these are their tax dollars that are going to these policies.
And what has been learned since this, and what changes have been made in all schools to kind of try to do whatever they can. It's not always preventable, but to at least know that you've got some things in place that can help prevent this happening again. And we want to make sure that happens as well, Marie.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thanks for the help on this. What a day. We had a great day yesterday. The whole world was, well, not the whole world, but our world, was paying attention to the eclipse. And I think we got so much attention because it was something we could all participate in that was positive, that took our minds off all of the negative news that we're surrounded by all the time. Well, we're back, unfortunately, to the negative news. And, we'll just have to deal with it. But it was a breath of fresh air.
During that whole event, not one single person said, who are you voting for president, right?
Yeah, right. That's the point.
Not a single person.
Not an argument at all. Okay. Thank you, Marie. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Marie Osborne, WJR Senior News Analyst. Coming up, Rocky Rutschkowski. He's always interesting, and he'll have lots to talk about. Up next here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR.